I invite you to stand for our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. While we are still standing, please receive this, our text for the sermon today. Our Lord's teaching, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing and to change the way we live, to change the way we think about you, to change the way that we bear your name, and we ask that we bear your name in truth and that we do your will and we love lawfulness. We pray this through Jesus, the lawgiver, our King, the righteous one. And amen. Jesus is precise. Jesus is exclusive. Some things are acceptable, other things are not. There is a right way, and there are many wrong ways. There are those who speak the truth, and there are those who lie. There are some who may look good, and they are not good. They are simply dressed up to look like something they are not. There are those who live in a certain right way, and there are others who do not live in the right way. There are some who think they belong to the Lord. They have been deceived. They do not. Jesus speaks of a narrow way, a narrow gate, and it's a gate of life. And he contrasts this with a wide path that leads to destruction or death. Jesus refers to trees. Some trees are not hypocritical. That is, they bear fruit in a consistent manner. Other trees are not. Jesus points out the fact that some live in a consistent way, They'll say some things and they'll do those things, while others do not. There are contrasts present. In the passage before us, our Lord speaks of two gates. One is narrow, one is wide. He speaks of two trees. One is good, the other is diseased. And he speaks of two ways: those who do the will of the Lord and those who do not do the will of the Lord. There's actually another grouping right after this. Lord willing, we'll look at it next week. We have two gates here and two trees and two ways. Our Lord ends this sermon with two houses, two builders of those houses. One house is on the rock, built by a wise man. The other house is built on the sand, built by a fool. Our Lord is precise. Not everything goes. Yet then and now we hear something different. We hear something different today. At Jesus' time, people heard something different as well. There's a constant squabble with Jesus' words. So what is it that we hear today? If Jesus is precise, and if Jesus is exclusive, what is it that we hear today? We hear this, or something like it. All roads lead to God. All religions are pretty much the same. All religions are acceptable. It's all up to you, as long as you are sincere. As long as you sincerely believe. Are you sincere? Do you believe sincerely? That's why it's all up to you. It matters not what you have faith in. It matters not what you believe. Just as long as you are sincere and you really believe it. And you'll hear this. Who's to say that that is correct? Who's to say that you are following the right way? What makes you think you are right, or that this is the right way? And we'll also hear this. To say that this way is right and that way is wrong, it is so unloving. It is so unkind. It's so wrong. Oh, so you'll admit there's a wrong? The Sermon on the Mount ends with precision and exclusion. It ends with warning and threat, and that word exclusive, if you're in the club or if you have the exclusive membership, it sounds good. If you're on the outside looking in, if you're excluded out, it sounds rather separatist and snobby. So some are in and some are out, but there are also, our Lord will tell us, some who think they're in and they're not in. The Sermon on the Mount ends with precision and it ends with warning and threat. And we may soften this by saying something like this. Not everything goes. Not everything is acceptable. There is a separation between this and that. Our Lord acknowledges that, but he says more. Our Lord says more than not everything is acceptable. He speaks of people. Not everyone who thinks this or does this. Not everyone. Our Lord sets the terms for this. This is not some kind of coming to the Lord and let's make a deal. Let's get the context straight then and the concern straight now. The context then, who were Jesus' hearers? What was going on in the entire flow of Scripture? The context then, it's important to note that Jesus' words apply then to the Jews of his day who thought they were doing things just right, who thought that they were on the path. Well, what's the concern for today? Is it possible to also think that we are just fine? Jesus' words are eternal. There's an immediate application to the context then, and there's an immediate application to the concern here. Jesus speaks of two gates. Enter, he says, by the narrow gate. There is a wide gate. There is a very wide way. It's a broad way, and that's a way that leads to destruction. You want to be undone? You want to be busted apart? There's a big path over there. There are many who go in by it. Narrow is the gate. It's tight. It's precise. It's exclusive. It is difficult. It's the way which leads to life. And shockingly, the King of Kings says there are few that find it. Jerusalem, like most ancient cities, had various entrances in the city walls. These were entrances and exits, and they were of various sizes. In Jerusalem, and by the way, even to this day, there are gates, some that are large and wide and others that are quite small and narrow. Some of these gates would be large enough for a caravan of a great number of travelers to enter side by side. They can walk alongside with each other and visit as they enter the gate. As for the narrower gates, a single person could walk through, maybe allowing a cart or a wagon to come cobbling through as well. They would have known what our Lord was referring to. Then and now, the accepted street wisdom, the accepted gate wisdom, was that the larger and the wide way was the correct way, and the smaller, narrower ways were suspicious and likely wrong. Jesus was just one preacher among many. He was just another making a claim to be the Messiah. What makes him so special? He was from a small, obscure part of the territory. Some of his followers, and there were only a few of those, likely had a funny accent. And that is why they knew at that fire before Jesus' crucifixion, "You're one of his disciples. You speak like one of them. We can hear it in the way you talk." Our Lord was rejected by the religious elite, the Jews of his day. He was also dismissed by the political powers of the time, by the power of Rome. He was considered insignificant and pretty much worthless. His own teaching said that his kingdom was a lot like a mustard seed, very small seed. He said, he was the one that said that his kingdom was a lot like leaven. And then after the bread is made, you can't even find the leaven. The Jews of Jesus' day had their long-term, long-established religion, which in their minds did not allow some carpenter's son to be any kind of leader. The Romans, they had bigger fish to fry. What's some obscure Jewish preacher guy? So what? Jesus' kingdom did look small. He was low. He was unexpected. His message was unexpected. He was narrow. He did not have the weight of antiquity of the Jewish religion, or so they thought, nor did he have the might of the present power of Rome, or so they thought. And yet, Jesus is the small, lower, narrow gate. He is the gate which leads to life. Those other gates, large and impressive. But they were spewing forth death in large doses. One analogy, consider a very large water pipe, a huge water pipe, just gargantuan, spewing forth water. And then another little pipe, maybe a half inch PVC pipe, or maybe a garden hose with a trickle of water. We can go from gates to water flow here. The large pipe would be spewing forth large doses of water, and people would say, yes, we need a lot of water, but that water was sewage. And the little garden hose was trickling forth the clean, pure water of life. What would you have? I need to fill the pool right away. Go ahead and just use sewage. That was then, today. There's a warning here about just drifting along and missing the Lord. Oh, then the Lord spoke to those who bore the name of the Lord. Today, our Lord's words still address those who bear the name of the Lord. It's easy to just float along. It's easy to go with the flow, to have many travelers and just wander right through the wide gate or to go through that huge pipe of sewage. This is a statement about life or death. Love the way Chesterton phrased it. A dead thing can go with the stream, but only a living thing can go against it. Only a living thing can work its way through that narrow gate. An obvious analogy. There's a large doorway there. There's a smaller doorway here. And our Lord is speaking to those who would have ears to hear. There are two gates. Our Lord then speaks of two trees. Verse 15, beware of false prophets. No trees are mentioned here. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are very hungry wolves. They've got a voracious appetite. They're willing to chomp and to eat and to kill. This is another word about life or death. Two trees. Our Lord will mention trees in just a moment. How do you recognize the prophet that is true and the prophet that is false? He's going to point us to trees. Trees that are supposed to give life-giving fruit. He's going to point us to two different kinds of trees, one healthy, one diseased. To be a follower of Jesus means, and pardon this simplicity here, to be a follower of Jesus means you're a follower of Jesus. It means that you listen to His word, the last prophet, the final prophet. You listen to His word and you follow His word. To be citizens of His kingdom means that you are subjects of the realm. Oh, so what we really have here, when we're speaking of prophets, instead of two trees, what we could say is we have two words. We have a true word and a false word. So what was going on then at that time? We need to understand the context. Jesus comes forth as the hymn rightly says, as the long-expected prophet, David's son and David's Lord. He's the long-expected prophet, and he is rejected and spoken against, prophesied against. The Jewish leaders were saying, and their prophets would say, no, not him. It can't be him. And when they said this, what they were saying was, follow us and follow our opinion, follow our ways, but do not follow him. According to our Old Testament reading today from Deuteronomy 13, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams comes along and even does some fancy footwork and cranks out a couple of fancy miracles, he's a wonder worker and the miracles happen. The wonders occur. We tend to think, I'm going to follow that person. They just did a trick. They just did a religious thing. But the law of the Lord then says that if that prophet or that dreamer of dreams who does that fancy wonder is leading you away from the Lord, pointing you away from the Lord, look at the trick, or follow me, that's a matter of death. So we're still dealing with death here. It's a matter of death for that prophet and for you, if you're going to listen to it. Later on in this passage, There's those haunting words about people who did wonderful signs, amazing things. Did we not prophesy? Didn't we cast out demons? Did exorcisms happen? Yes. Didn't we do many wonders? But a prophet of the Lord will always point to the true Lord. A true word will always point to the true word. Who is telling the truth? Our Lord is clear. Verses 16 through 18. You will know them by their fruits. We do not gather grapes or figs from a sticker bush. And these are references to Israel, the vineyard and the fig tree. Jesus is referring to the people of his day. Have you missed the true prophet by listening to false prophets? If the tree is good, it will be consistent and bear good fruit. If it is diseased, if it is not good, it will be hypocritical and bring forth bad fruit. They're going to be saying, we've got the true way, and the fruit is deadly. The test is not miraculous powers. Then or now, the test is fruit. Consistency in pointing to the true prophet, the final word. Any tree, any prophet that is not speaking or pointing to Christ is a bad tree, and according to verse 19, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. John the Baptist said the same thing when he began his ministry. Trees are going to be chopped down all over the place. And to whom did he say that? To the Pharisees and Sadducees who came out. What are you doing? Why are you baptizing? What's going on? By the way, they knew what was going on. They didn't say, what are you doing? They said, why are you baptizing? He said, I'm the voice of one calling in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. By the way, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who warned you? You who bear the name of the Lord. You to whom so much has been given. You who have the fathers. You're getting ready to say, we're of Abraham. Don't go there. Don't go there. Today, here, at this time, the concern, this is a warning about the message or the messages we are receiving. Oh, we grew up in the church. I've heard it enough. Let's just put it off to the side. What messages are you receiving? Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Prophets? It's not like some guy came up in some raggedy old clothing with weird hair. No, we're listening to prophets of all shapes and sizes, of various bytes and gigabytes. This is a warning about what you are taking in, your inputs. I speak to the young men and young women of this congregation variously. What's shaping you? What are you taking in? I'll speak to all the children of God now. What is it that you're taking in? With what are you filling your mind? What shapes you? Who shapes you? By the way, some of it out there may sound pretty good. It may even look just fine. They come to you in sheep's clothing. If anything or anyone is pulling you, luring you, drawing you away from Christ, even among your best friends, that Deuteronomy passage goes on, that's a judgment-worthy false prophet. That's death-dealing right there. And you know what? We play games with it. We play games with it. Sometimes we're desperate for our children to have friends. We'll just put up with that. We're so lonely, then all of a sudden, the Lord bringing us through a dry time, a quiet time, a time of lowness, and then we start looking around desperately. I need someone. And the Lord is wanting you to know, I want you to trust me. I want you to stay in the shadow of my wing for a while. It's not just the prophets that are known by their fruit. It's us too. Does our life point to Christ, honor Christ or not? To say that you belong to Christ and that you don't point to Christ or show forth Christ is it's like looking for peaches on a bramble bush. You're going, ow, ow, but there's got to be a peach in here somewhere. I sincerely believe there's a peach in here. Sincerity of belief that there's a peach in a bramble bush is not going to put a peach in a bramble bush. There's a peach in there, that's because someone threw one in there. Two gates, two trees, and now two ways. Some are deluded, thinking that, hey, I am welcomed with the Lord, and then they'll point to all the things that they have done. Everything that they have said, all the lessons or the sermons that they have taught, all the camps that they have gone to and the conferences and the seminars, they'll point to their victories and their accomplishments. And if they're not known by the Lord, they'll hear these haunting words, all the while thinking that they're going to receive, I'm going to get a great seat, I'm going to get a great place. Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. You practice lawlessness. The whole Sermon on the Mount is, who are the children of the King? Who? We follow the gospel of the King. We live in a certain way. We smell a certain way. We speak in a certain way. There are some who are busy doing all that they do for themselves, and yet they're not known by the Lord. There are others doing what they do, and they are known by the Lord. Pharaoh's magicians. They replicated many of the wonders done through Moses, and they were rejected. They couldn't come to the judge of all and say, hey, didn't you see what we did with the blood and the frogs? Didn't you see it? We were able to whip that up, which was lunacy, by the way. As if it's not bad enough having blood, we're going to make more water, turn more water into blood. Not enough frogs, we're going to make more frogs. But this is more here. This is more than those Egyptian magicians. These are convinced that they are doing what they do in the name of the Lord. We tend to think that they're going to be speaking back to the Lord. They're not. But here's what we tend to think, that they would be saying, you know, Lord, we did this for you as your representatives, as your people. But when they're in the blazing gaze of the Holy One, there's not going to be any doubt of exclusivity and precision. There's not going to be any doubt that it's not just that you never knew me, I never knew you. Context then, concern now. Our Lord's words are eternal, so let's end. 3 points. We end here. Comfort and ease. Comfort and ease, or sinful presumption. Have any of us grown sloppy in the ways of the Lord? Have you started to think that because you have grown up with the privileges of Christ and the Christian community, that you've been baptized and that you have the supper of the Lord, that all is well? Paul looked at his countrymen, his kinsmen according to the flesh, his fellow Jews, the Israelites, our epistle reading. What did they have? They had the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship of God, the promises. From them came the fathers, and the privileges were astounding. Beware. Have we grown comfortable and at ease? Do we have this sinful presumption? If so, repent of it. Our Heavenly Father welcomes our requests. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in the works you have done. We always trust in the works that Christ did next. It's a question piling up. The first one was a question, comfort and ease. The second one's a question, piling up. Have we heard but not done Jesus' words? How many times have we heard our Lord's word and then we are like someone who looks at his natural face in a mirror? We go, yeah, I've got to take care of that. I've got something right here, but I'll get to it later. And then we walk away and we forget what kind of a person we were. We're piling up. Did you hear? Yes. Did you do? No. Did you know? Yeah. Did you do it? No. Third question, neglect or pursuit? I end with three questions. The first question is comfort and ease. Second question, piling up. How many times have you been before the Lord in His Word? Prayerfully. How many sermons? How many Bible studies? So first question is comfort and ease. Second question, piling up. Third question is this, neglect or pursuit? Do we neglect the Scriptures? And I mean pursuing them. We want to do everything else. Well, you know what? I'll get to the Scriptures eventually. Right now I'm tired. I need to go to bed. Right now I've got this to do. Because I did not carve out my life to be a man or a woman shaped by the Scriptures. Do we neglect the Scriptures? Do we neglect Bible study? Do we neglect prayer? Is there an opportunity to actually study the Bible and we go, you know what? I'm too tired. I've got other things to do. What do you think was going on then? He can't be the true word. I don't want to listen to him. We've got it. We're here. We are supposed to live according to the law and the prophets. I don't even know the law and the prophets. How do you love one another? Well, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You do. You're active. You go. That's the law and the prophets. I want to live according to the law and the prophets. We end here. I'm not going to trust me. Don't trust yourself. Trust the Lord. The one who kindly gives us His thunderous word and says, have you heard? What will you do? What we're going to find in this is an active righteousness. We're afraid of that. But our Lord provides for us and then He says, go, be, do. You can't just sit back, because if you do, it's neglect, it's ease, it's sinful presumption, and the weight of guilt is just going to pile up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for Your thunderous word, for Your clear word, but we do so as well by giving thanks to You for Jesus Christ. Therefore, we pray to You through Your Son and our Savior, and we praise You for our union with Him, and we praise You for His righteousness applied to us, His righteousness as an instruction for us. So now, by Your Holy Spirit, beautify this flock and be honored as we live and walk as Your children. Heavenly Father, it's easy to doubt when we look at ourselves. May our eyes be fixed upon Jesus Christ, and so grant us the confidence that comes from bearing Your name. Lord, lift our gaze by Your kindness, and may we trust You, for You do all things well, and You love Your church. I ask all of this through Jesus, Your Son and our Savior. Amen.